This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Write Along Radio, a podcast for the love, art, and business of writing.
This is Catherine from Write Along Radio. I'm here in front of my parents' house with a group of writers, including Kevin. You know Kevin. Say hi, Kevin.
What did I say that made everyone uncomfortable? Yo.
Okay, Kevin's blocked from this conversation. He's not going to get the microphone for the rest of the chat. So I'm going to go around the circle and everyone can just introduce themselves. Is that okay? Okay, and maybe just say what type of things you write.
My name is Derek Kunskin. I write science fiction, fantasy, and sometimes by accident horror.
I'm Kevin Johns. I write young adult horror, sci-fi, fantasy, as well as writing instructional books.
Hi, my name is Agnes Kedzier, and I write science fiction and fantasy short stories.
My name is Nicole Levine. I write short fiction, speculative fiction, and fantasy.
And I'm Catherine again. I do a lot of blogging, literary fiction, science fiction, whatever I feel like. Okay, so I thought today we could talk about why you guys are here all together, which is On the Brink. And what is On the Brink? And what is it doing for you guys? And then also, I was hoping we could tie in the idea of mentorship, because as I was just saying to Derek a second ago, I think a mentor is something that has like a really nice, idealistic ring to it. The mentor is going to come in and show us how it's done, help us out. What's the reality of it, and what does it actually mean? So first of all, what is On the Brink? Agnes, you summed it up really well before.
Well, On the Brink is a series of events happening in Ottawa which celebrate and showcase up-and-coming authors, local authors, who are basically on the brink of breaking through and making it, I suppose, on the literary big scene. So most of them have had a few stories published, and they're just basically hanging on that edge, ready to step off into fandom.
So I know you guys, it's an event, right? Where you're coming out, but what's leading up to the event? I was speaking with Marie earlier, Bilodeau, and she was saying how excited she was at Apartment 613 and Write Along Radio were going to do this because she wanted you guys to get media experience. I mean, what else is part of this? She had also mentioned mentorship, which is a topic I was hoping to talk about today. Any extra layers you want to add on it? Derek, you're supposed to be the mentor,
I'm guessing.
Each Writers on the Brink has three up-and-coming writers who are being celebrated, and then they bring in somebody who's a little farther along on that path. Uh-huh. To be one of the readers. And in terms of mentorship, some of the things that Marie and others have talked to me about is giving people their first experience and a bit of guidance on how to do a reading. It's not always obvious. I'd been to Toronto as a writer with, maybe three times as many sales as some of our writers on the brink have. And I went to a place where I was giving a reading and, two people showed up and, I sat in a chair and read. And so, I mean, obviously, there's better ways to do it than that. And people like Marie and others are giving some of that experience. In terms of the mentorship, there's that small training part, but I think the mentorship is a lot bigger because the science fiction and fantasy and horror writing community in Ottawa is pretty big and it's pretty active. And also, I'd say it's pretty young. If you compare it to other places, we've got a lot of younger writers. We've got a lot of people who are energetic and ready to contribute to the community. We've got Writers on the Brink. We've got a quarterly reading series in Ottawa that's really good. We've got a yearly literary science fiction convention. We have NaNoWriMo, which is the November Write a Novel month. And that's a very active community in Ottawa as well. And we have a bunch of writers groups around and workshops going on. And so it's a big community. And plugging into that is a lot of the mentorship that happens in science fiction and fantasy. A lot of the advice on breaking into writing in our field is write short stories, get known, and then after that, once you've gathered the skills that you need, then go on and do novels. And so that's not the same path for everybody, but that's one of the, more classic paths in our field. But maybe I'll see if these ladies want to you know, amplify on what I'm saying.
Sure. I think one thing with Ottawa is we do have a really strong, very supportive community. It's people go out to other people's events to support each other and everything. And the East Block of Regulars, they're one of the big groups that is behind CanCon, helping to support that. And they've done a bunch of writing workshops in Ottawa over the past couple of years as fundraising for CanCon. And that's actually how I met Derek. And so, yeah, there's definitely opportunities of mentoring and also just in getting involved with the community, connecting with other writers, you start to understand a bit better the industry. You're not just starting off, you know, writing off on your own, in your own space, completely isolated, thinking of that dream of publishing. Yeah. But it's also understanding, okay, the reality of getting rejected and how to submit and that sort of thing. And that's something that I found very beneficial for me, having that realistic glance into the world before, even before I started submitting, having a sense of what to expect.
Going on with what Nicole was saying, it's also great to have individuals who have been there, who have gone through it, and who can help you not make those detrimental mistakes that can potentially damage your career down the road or can impede your opportunities to either find publishers, find agents, or just move or have that forward momentum in your writing. And the other thing that I found really good, particularly being in EBI, which I have been in several other writing groups, is it's much more structured and realistic to what you're going to get out there in the industry. I've been in a lot of writing groups where you spend half the time chit-chatting about things not writing, and then everyone loves your story, as opposed to being in a writing group where you basically sometimes have people slam down your, you know, your 5,000 words and say, I hate this. It's terrible. But the reality is that there are going to be people out there who won't even give you that much. So it's great to build on that resistance and that toughness that you need to go into a highly competitive environment where it's cutthroat. And if you don't know how to deal with it, it can ruin you. So it was a really great learning experience and good to have people who've been there.
Wow. Okay. Cutthroat experience. I know you guys were talking about earlier that Derek, you get up and Nicole, you guys write in the morning together. Mm-hmm. Did this happen before On the Brink? Have you been doing it for a while?
Yeah. Oh, so okay. I had been writing with another writer I had just started writing in the morning with him, and then Marie Bilodeau started joining us, and then this other writer went away, and then Marie and I were writing by ourselves for a while. And then I started thinking, well, what if Marie goes somewhere? Then who am I going to have? So then I met Nicole through one of our workshops, and I said, hey, you should come in, and so should another friend of ours. And, you know, you should write with Marie and I every morning. And it was a bit surprising to Marie, but now it's done. So there were four of us writing for a while, and, you know, we've kept that up and kept that up. And then Marie, as I expected, eventually got a job elsewhere. And so she couldn't come in the mornings anymore. And so now it's Nicole and I for at least the last 2.5 years. And yeah, you show up, and because you know somebody's expecting you, you can't not be there. And there isn't a lot of chit chat either, because you've only got 50 or 60 minutes to write. And then you've both got to go to work. So there is no blocking. It's you sit down, you put in the earphones, and you go.
Mm-hmm. And especially when you have, you know, Derek texting you going, okay, you're 2 minutes late. Where are you? Why aren't you here writing yet? It's a good motivator to get you into the routine. And that's the thing that I find is the routine, as Derek was mentioning earlier, writing every day makes it that much easier to get back into your story, to keep writing. And I find, yeah, the morning routine for me works a lot better, because at the end of the day after work, you know, sometimes you're tired, you're burnt out, you don't feel like writing, or there's events and things to go to in the evening and whatnot. So for me, the morning routine is a lot easier to maintain. And also sometimes even not being fully awake in the morning can be helpful for drafting, because then the editor part of your brain isn't fully awake yet.
So Nicole, Derek motivates you by texting incessantly, and Nicole motivates you by creating the kind of community. to show up to.
No, but Nicole, we had another, the friend who had gone away came back after 3 years and we hadn't seen each other. And so we would sometimes chit chat in the morning. And then Nicole was now saying to me, shh, shh, you know. So it goes both ways. You know, there's the relationship of showing up. Like, I feel an obligation to be there too, if she's going to be there. So I can't be late. I've got to be quiet. I've got to work. And that's, you know, we get in 5 hours of uninterrupted work per week. That's not something everybody has.
That's really amazing.
Yeah, because nobody ever books you a meeting at 7 a.m.
No, that's true.
I've made jokes about being a mentor to Nicole, and, you know, it's been jokey. But at the same time, I have tried as much as possible to pass on advice that isn't going to be annoying or anything, and just sort of lead by example. So I don't know... We were commenting on this over supper that we have a de facto mentorship a bit, but I mean, Nicole is becoming a published writer, and so that's not going to go on, you know, very much longer.
That's almost the natural progression of a mentorship in a way. You're bringing someone up to teach them what you know and then fly.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something that we'd ever discussed before dinner tonight, the idea of it being a mentorship, but it's definitely... I see it fitting into that role and just being surrounded by people who are, you know, a few years ahead, many years ahead, on the same path that you're trying to make, and sharing their knowledge and having those frank conversations.
Agnes.
I was going to say it might be worth getting Agnes' perspective, because she joined the East Block Irregulars when we already had 7 members. And so she was, for a time, you were there before or after Jeff? You were before.
After.
Oh, you were after Jeff too. Yes. Okay. Yes. So you were the newest member of the East Block Irregulars until Kate got there. And so, you know, she would have a different experience, because a lot of us were coming with, you know, a lot more than that. But at the same time, we saw that, okay, she's got publications, she's got the chops, so let's bring her on. So I don't know if you would find that to be also in a mentoring relationship either, or do you see it as different because you're also critiquing us?
Well, there were two sides to it, I guess, in terms of I am now in a professional critiquing group where a lot of the individuals who are in there have lengthy resumes in terms of their writing, but at the same time, despite me being able to learn from these individuals, there was a sense of community where I realized very quickly that what I had to offer in terms of critiquing was also taken quite seriously, making me feel like, okay, you know what? I'm on the right track. What I'm doing and the way that I'm critiquing and the way that I'm writing is going in the right direction towards what it is that I want to achieve, which is publication, people loving my work, people reading my work, and putting myself out there. So it was a lot of give and take in terms of the mentorship where, you learn from each other, and there's always something that you can take away from it, regardless of how much experience or years the individuals have in that group. It's good to see that we're all still learning from each other, and there are perspectives that without those individuals, perhaps somebody with less experience can pick up on, as opposed to somebody who's very much set in their ways or set in a specific style may miss.
I would say that to capture that, then, like, I mean, there is peer mentorship, and maybe that's a little more of what's going on, because, you know, before we brought Agnes into the group, we did a test drive in terms of what is her critiquing like. We gave her a story, and then we looked at what her critiquing style and what point she was getting at, and then we said, yeah, we want this in the group. It'll strengthen us. So there's maybe a critiquing group can be considered a peer mentorship sort of thing. And Nicole might have different experiences as well, because after the first workshop where we met, she formed her own writers group, and so she might have views on that sort of peer mentoring.
Do you?
In our case, it was a critiquing group that formed out of that workshop. Derek, Hayden, and Matt had all talked about the value that they found in their writing workshop, but they were full, do not even ask.
Because we had Agnes with us.
Yes. That one spot that we could have all fought for was gone. But they then suggested the idea. They asked who out of that workshop would be interested in forming a critiquing group, and there were enough hands that went up, and so they collected emails, sent the list around, and we formed a critiquing group out of that. But they all offered resources for getting started. Also to come and sit in on one of our first critiques, to add any pointers or perspective that way, which we never ended up really needing. One member in our group had a critiquing group already, so he had some experience. But it was good. It was all of us were coming in at the same level, at a much earlier level, but supporting each other and critiquing. And it's definitely a good thing to be a part of. You can really grow and learn a lot through being critiqued and as well critiquing other people.
I would say one more thing on the mentorship, like the informal one as well, because with Nicole writing with me every day, I was at Worldcon in Chicago, I think, and I ran into an editor who had previously bought one of my stories, and I was asking him how things were going, and he said, oh, you know, my assistant editor is, you know, not going to be around anymore. And I said, really? I don't, you know, you look stressed. I don't want you to be stressed. So, you know, do you want me to find you an assistant editor? And he was like, really? You could? And I'm like, yeah, let me check my Rolodex. And of course I was thinking of Nicole, because being an assistant, an editorial assistant on a magazine, you know, Nicole can talk to that experience, but I was really happy to make that connection for her. And, you know, I think it's been good, but.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, I think that's the same with, if you're going to think of writing as a business, if you want to, you do need to form a community. You do need to have a network. I mean, that's the way any kind of business works. You need to get to know who is who. Kevin, I was actually thinking about you in this case, because you work with so many online writers. What do you do if you don't know where to go, if you don't feel like you're tapped in? Like, the sci-fi fandom seems like this is a writer's dream community in a way. But what if you don't have the writer's dream community? So Kevin, what's your experience in mentorship?
I remember when, you know, when I got into trying to market my book online, and they always say, you know, find the influencers in your niche. And they're like, it's simple. Just find the influencers and start developing relationships. And I was like, I don't know who the influencers are. Like I was saying, I'd been off the internet for like 5 years. Like, I literally didn't even know how to work Twitter or whatever. But now that I've been like deep into it for a couple of years now, I think one of the best things, kind of someone new to whatever genre or niche who's kind of for the first time getting themselves out there and wants to know who, you know, the influencers are, conferences are great. Just find, you know, CanCon that, you know, Derek's heavily involved in. If you want to know who are the influencers, who are the people that you can learn from, who are the people that you can model and maybe, you know, develop relationships with, go to those conferences, go to those events. That's where these sorts of people congregate. And, you know, if you can't afford to travel somewhere, go somewhere, just look at who's speaking. You know, there's a list right there of the sorts of people who are putting themselves out there, who have been recognized enough as experts to get up on panels and to speak to crowds. And so that's a really kind of simple hack for finding out who the influences are, whether you're a romance writer, whether you're a horror writer, whatever. There's conferences everywhere, and that's a really great way to just immediately identify the type of folks that you want to interact with and start developing relationships with and model and learn from.
That's a great idea. And the same with blogging. Exactly the same with blogging, yeah. Actually. Just want to touch on fandom, because it is a fascinating thing to me. You were saying on the Brink brings authors into fandom. What the heck does that mean? I don't know, because I'm mostly literary.
Sorry. You want me to take it?
did I say something wrong?
No,
worried I'm saying something wrong.
No, so fandom is what science fiction fans have been calling themselves since about 1939, okay, when pulp readers got together. I forget where the first Worldcon was, but there was only 200 people at it, and they called themselves the Worldcon, the World Science Fiction Convention. And it might have been New York, and they got together enough money, and they said, let's invite one of the writers who we all like to read. And they did that, and that was the first guest of honor at the first Worldcon. And then, yeah, exactly.
It's creation story.
And so that's gone on, and it spawned many other imitators, including CanCon, including Ad Astra in Toronto, SF Ontario, a lot of conventions all over the place. We call them conventions, but really they are conferences where there are panel discussions. There are writers, readers, publishers, editors, bloggers, you know, just anybody who has an interest in the genre. And that in its totality is what we mean when we're calling, you know, when we're talking about fandom. And Agnes is getting fans from fandom right now, and so is Nicole, and yeah.
Cool.
Very, yeah, does that make sense?
That makes sense to me.
And so Ottawa has fandom.
Yeah.
right? It's there's the literary fandom, the people who come to CanCon, the people who are reading and so on. There's also the more, you know, media and comic fandom, who are the people who are going to, you know, Comic-Con and the things like that. And it's a big thing. And the Ottawa one is very supportive, very, very supportive.
Actually, I wanted to say that when I went to CanCon, I've been to a couple conferences, not many, but a couple, in different types of writing. CanCon was pretty amazing. Like, there was this intimacy. It wasn't massive, but everyone in the room was in that conversation. They were jumping in with their thoughts. The authors were throwing it back with their thoughts. I couldn't believe it. And it just, and there was parties going on. I was truly impressed. And I thought, well, if you're going to be part of a community, this is like the magic community to be part of.
And I think with CanCon, there's an advantage to it being so small. The fact that it has that intimacy, that in a panel, it's small enough that everyone who wants to speak can probably have their chance to do so. And that you can go to the parties and connect with publishers, you know, Cheezing and Bundoran and everyone like that, and Dragon Moon, and you can connect with them all. And you can do that at a bigger con, but I think, and admittedly, my experience of bigger cons is limited to Ad Astra, and I'm going to my first World Fantasy this fall, which is exciting. But I think once you get past a certain size, you can get sort of lost in the crowd, whereas that intimacy can be really nice and a really inviting and safe way for especially new people to connect and to meet people and actually have a chance to really do that without being overwhelmed.
Which is kind of like the first step to finding someone to support you and help you and guide you and teach you.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, yeah, it's just about making those connections, and those can develop, and some of them will develop into peers, and some of them won't develop into mentorship, whether formalized or very casual. And I think especially for new people in the community, don't worry so much about going to the big cons, the World Con and the World Fantasy and everything. Like, find your smaller local cons and start to wet your feet with that and start to build those connections. And then you can tackle the big ones after a couple of years.
Beautiful. Kevin, let's wrap it up.
No, I don't. I'm not wrapping it up. I'm drawing it out. Drawing it out, Catherine.
I wanted to draw it out.
No.
The big cons.
I have a question. You know, you guys are all heavily involved in these local writing groups, and you know, in today's day and age, we can, you know, I was on a webinar last night with people from England and all around the world, right? So, you know, I find every time I go out to a local event, I'm balancing the value of that event of doing something else I could be doing online, right? So what is the value of engaging in your local community and being part of, say, a local writing group or going to the cons in your city?
One thing that Nicole and I were doing on purpose at the last CanCon was I had told her ahead of time that there were a few high school students and university students that had kind of approached me through Facebook and so on, just saying, you know, we're writers, what do we do? And I said, well, come see me, come see, you know, and in fact, as quickly as I could, I'd say, well, would you like to meet an editorial assistant from Beneath Ceaseless Skies? She's on the editorial staff of this magazine that, you know, got nominated for Hugo. And you could see their eyes go really wide. And it's just Nicole, who I write with. But all
just
the same. but what happens then is then she's like, oh, well, let me introduce you to, you know, our guest of honor, or let me introduce you to this scientist or something. And for example, you know, Agnes is doing biology education right now. And one of the things I wanted to do was showcase a little more science. And so I had her and another a female biologist and a woman MD, PhD. And we said, you know, talk about biotechnology and biology. And I mean, that room was packed, like absolutely packed. It had more people in it than the blood splatter presentation by the Ottawa police. And so it was just like, you know, the people were really interested in the sciences. And so everybody who wanted to could go up to talk to Agnes afterwards, after having heard her speak, maybe look up her writing and so on. Yeah. And like we brought in editors. We brought in an editor from California last year. There were a few from Toronto and Ottawa. And just telling people that there's going to be pitch sessions. Like, you don't have to, it doesn't have to be high pressure, but if you want to learn how to pitch a novel, you know, these editors will, you know, give a session on how to pitch first. And then later on, there will be special pitch sessions. And I mean, there's so many people who come just to try out that experience. And there's the slushing panel. And this year, We have the editor guest of honor is the editor of Analog Magazine, the oldest and most, you know, one of the most famous magazines in the world. And so we're flying him up from New York, and he's going to be on a panel to talk about, you know, the editorial voice of his magazine as compares to the editorial voice in, you know, Nicole, the magazine where Nicole works, as well as against a few other magazine editors that we have showing up at the con. And that's one of the many panels we'll be doing with him and with Nicole and with others who it makes sense to do. But at the same time, those people are going to be able to talk to that guy who is, you know, a pretty big editor. And so, yeah, it's a lot about building those contacts and introducing people. I think one of the biggest jobs that keeps me exhausted when I'm at KenCon is just trying to introduce everybody to everybody else, because I happen to know everybody because I do the programming, which means I keep on thinking, oh, these people should meet Kevin because he does this podcast, and these people should meet Nicole because she does, you know, editorial stuff on adventure fantasy and so on. So that's a bit of the networking. And that's why I think the local con beats out what you can do online, because you've got conveners there, a lot of conveners. And the parties, like you were saying, at CanCon, the publishers have parties. You know, there's chips and free beer and stuff like that. But the real treat of it is going up and mingling with, you know, some writers from Toronto, and you introduce yourself, and then all of a sudden you're standing in front of an editor from, you know, New York, and then, you know, you're right up against a best-selling, you know, writer from Montreal, and you get that right there. And there's something personal about being in front of somebody as opposed to being online. And I get the online stuff. I have a lot of friends across all over the place with the internet. But I mean, there's nothing that, you know, can get as intimate as just, you know, talking to somebody about what your hopes and dreams are, and you read body language and stuff like that.
Also, similar to that, when it comes to things like critiquing, you can do critiques online and email your comments and everything. But there's a different element that you get when you're critiquing in a group, all sitting face to face, that you're not only receiving the critique face to face, but you're also... the critiquers get to hear what other people picked up on a story that you wouldn't necessarily find out about otherwise. Mm. And sometimes with my critiquing group, it'll start off a discussion where someone will realize, oh, I didn't pick up on that element at all. And hearing their comment will remind you of something else that didn't click before. So the critique can organically find a different level and bring out different things. Or sometimes it spurs off a completely unrelated idea where you're just brainstorming ideas of different things that a story could do.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Let's say, what's the bigger overall takeaway here? I'm going to guess it. You can correct me. Is basically start getting out there and getting involved. Volunteer, attend, mm-hmm. say hello to the person sitting next to you at the conference.
Yeah, you're absolutely right with that. Get yourself out there. I know as an introvert myself, it's very, very difficult sometimes for writers. We're writers for a reason. We're writers because we don't have to be social. But the reality...
And we hate humanity.
But the reality is that you need to put yourself out there if you want to make these contacts, if you want to meet these people, make these networks. You do need to get out there. And it's scary. It is scary to take yourself out of your brain, out of that computer, off that laptop and actually go and say, hey, how's it going? My name's Agnes. I'm a sci-fi writer. Who are you? You know, but after a while, you start realizing that you are in a very familiar territory where everybody there is somehow connected to what you're doing, and they love what you love, and they're all there to support each other. And yes, you will meet the occasional individual who, you know, may want to pull the rug out from under your feet, but they're rare. Mm-hmm. And they usually, you know, we sniff them out and take away their pass. So you don't have to worry about it. They usually don't come back. But it's that face value it's priceless. Mm-hmm. And go for it. That's basically all I got to tell people. And write. Don't forget to write. Because writers write.
And also, if the idea of going to, you know, the parties where, like, if the crowded and the noise and everything is too daunting, or it's just too overstimulating and everything, at a lot of these cons, go down to the hotel bar. There's usually a small crowd of people that are hanging out who are specifically avoiding the crowd of the party and wanting to have a nice quiet conversation. And most of them are very friendly and open. And if you say, hey, can I join you for a drink? Most of them will welcome you, unless they're, you know,
doing hush-hush top secret business, then they will very politely say, sorry, we're doing hush-hush top secret business. Another time we would love to have you join. And also, yes, the person sitting next to you at a panel in those couple of moments before things get started. And most of the other people at these conventions are also introverts, so they're probably just as nervous and awkward and hesitant as you are. So everyone's on familiar territory.
So fight the shyness. Yeah. Don't stop writing. FaceTime is priceless. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a iBookTune thing plug. Face to face is so valuable. And Kevin,
you wrap me up.
I'm trying.
Yeah, I would say if
you wrap it up.
So I would say to wrap this up, definitely come to Writers on the Brink on May 1st at Maxwell's at 7 or 7:30. There's also a Chi series in Ottawa that every quarter they bring in writers that do great readings. And there's, I think most or some of us are on Twitter and you can follow us and we'll, you know, easily contactable, very friendly.
Mention this interview.
There you go. Yeah, mention this interview and then we'll totally,
oh.
And then I'll be like, yeah, now I remember you.
It'd be familiar.
Yeah. And I would say that, the writers keep writing and at the same time, the readers, also have a great fun. So, I'll wrap it up there.
Kevin, you want to say anything
else? Oh, no. My take was just that idea of online versus meeting people in real life. And I think online, we think of social media as giving us access to people in a way we've never had before. But in reality, it still is kind of a barrier that you're trying to break through the technology to get to the human being. And when you go to these events, when you meet people in your community, you realize that these authors who are, you know, a few years ahead of you or decades ahead of you are still just human beings. And I think it's so valuable. It's like, I always think of the 4-minute mile where they thought it was impossible. They thought it was humanly impossible for a person to run a mile in 4 minutes. And then someone did. And then like 20 people did the next month, right? Cause it broke through that mindset of it's impossible. And I feel like if there's any writers out there who've maybe only ever interacted online, get out there in your community or travel to a convention and you'll see that these people that you admire and that are so amazing are also just human beings. And in a way, it'll be like a 4-minute mile in your mind. And you'll say, hey, maybe I can do that too. You know, those people who you think of as gods or as internet masters or whatever are really just human beings. And when you get to make that connection, it can mean the world for your career as a writer because it gives you that belief that like, hey, it's possible. If they can do it, if they're just a regular guy, maybe I can do it too. So that's, you know, that's why I encourage writing groups or working with mentors or going to these events. I think it's so important to see that this stuff is real. You know, it's just regular folks just like you listening to this podcast and you can do it too.
Okay, so that's the On the Brink group. Talking about a lot of different stuff, but I think it was really, really wonderful. And probably it was better for the fact that we are together talking. Mm-hmm. So thanks, guys.
Thank you. Clap. Yay.